This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Before I jump into our message real quick this morning that the Lord's laid in my heart, I want to say something to you just as a pastor. And I don't want to necessarily be specific necessarily, but I wanted to draw you, just say something to you from a pastor's heart. And there's so much going on in our world today, and you all know that. We see things, we experience things, and we whether it be through media, through politics, through other agendas, that's just not who we are as a church. We just believe that God's bigger than that. And we celebrate the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of this world. And I want to remind us this morning, just as a way to encourage you real quickly this morning, I want to remind you what Galatians 6 says. And it reminds us this. Paul writes in Galatians, he says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked." God cannot be mocked. And there's a growing fear in the church today of how will the church survive. And I just want to encourage you today that the church has and will survive. Its best days are not behind it. And I want to remind you that, and I want to encourage you, if you call yourself a Christian in here, God has not called you. He's not called me. He's not called you to defend Christianity. I believe that God has called us to live Christianity. Not to defend it, but to live it. And living Christianity is simply this. The gospel breaks it down to very simple. Living Christianity is loving God and loving others. Loving God and loving others. And I want to encourage us this morning, in spite of everything we see and everything we read, don't lose sight of that. We are to love God and to love others. And I believe that the best way for you and I to defend your faith is not in some post on social media. It's not in some rant or angry rant or anything. I don't believe that's the best way to defend Christianity. I think the best way for you and I to defend Christianity is to live it. Just to live it. By sharing your Christianity, by sharing your faith, by helping those in need, by kindness, by purity, living a pure life. That's what we do. And so I want to encourage you quickly this morning just to say, listen, don't be fearful. God's not going to be mocked. Don't be deceived by that. And at the end of the day, we don't have to worry about it. We give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to live for you, and I want to love God, and I want to love others. So can we do that together? Amen? Don't be fearful, all right? Don't be fearful. Amen. So listen, let's just love people. That's what God's called us to do, and love others. Amen. Hey, I want to talk to you. First of all, I want to thank you all for sharing the message of CLC, who we are, what we're about, inviting your friends and being here. If you're church shopping, you're new here this morning, thank you for being here. My name's Heath. I'm the lead pastor, and along with my wife, we want to welcome you. And I say this almost every week, but if you're out church shopping, I would just want to say welcome home. You found your church. So, and we're glad you're here. And so I want to talk to you really simple, the simplicity of a message this morning that I feel like the Lord's laid in my heart. And it's just simply entitled Psalms 23. Psalms 23, I want to talk about probably one of the most famous passages in the Bible, Psalms 23. Almost, if you don't have a Christianity context or a biblical context, you probably know or have heard of this scripture, Psalms 23. And many of us know Psalm 23 because it's heavily quoted, it's at many ceremonies, written on many brochures, you see it at events, and even specifically, you see it a lot at funerals. But I actually believe this, and I want to share this with you this morning, I actually believe that Psalms 23 was not made for funerals. I think Psalms 23 was made for living. For living. It was made for you to experience life in Christ, and I want to help you today experience this amazing, amazing scripture that's in the Bible. Now, when I start studying God's Word, when I start looking at it, I would encourage you the same way. There's certain things that's important for you to figure out when you look at a particular piece of scripture in the Bible. And so for a couple things I'm going to look for, try to find out to help me put it in context and to help me to know what it is that I'm actually reading. So the first thing I want to do is when I'm looking at a scripture, I want to find out who actually wrote this scripture. That helps give me some background and some ideas. And so when we look at Psalms 23, right, there's 150 Psalms that are written, and not all of them are written by the same person or by this particular guy. But this one, Psalms 23, is written by this guy by the name of David. And so David is the author of Psalms, right? Now, ultimately, we know that God is the author of the Bible, but he inspired these writers, just like David, to write these particular scriptures. So the next thing, and not only do I want to understand who wrote this particular psalm, I also want to know a little bit about this guy who wrote this psalm. So most of you know David. David is one of eight sons. He's actually the youngest of eight sons. David lives in a town called Bethlehem, and he has this profession, and his profession is he's a shepherd. And at a young age, he gets anointed as the next king of Israel. He gets this oil jumped on his head, and you're going to be the next king of Israel. But then after he gets the oil jumped on his head, he didn't sit around the table and say, look at me, I'm going to be the next K-I-N-G, right? He goes back to the field, and he shepherds. And we all know about him. Most of you know about David because he's the famous guy. And the one thing that we know he's famous for is that he killed this giant named, come on, you're with me. Sunday school worked for you. All right, so he fights Goliath, right? And he goes out and he wins. He takes him out. And eventually we know that he'll be king over all of Israel. And so then he writes this psalm. So then we got to ask ourselves, well, why did he write this particular psalm? And I've, like many of you, I always thought that he wrote Psalms 23 as a tiny little shepherd boy sitting on a hill somewhere watching sheep, and he looks at the sheep and he writes this amazing psalms. But actually, theologians have begun to realize that David actually wrote this psalm when he was older in life. And there's a lot of statements that we find in Psalms 23 that would show us that he wasn't a young shepherd boy at the time that he writes this particular psalm. And so there's this amazing context, and it tells us that Psalms 23 was written in one of David's most difficult seasons of life. The season that he's walking through when he writes this song is that he's got this son, his name is Absalom, and his son has actually turned on him. He's tried to take over the kingdom from his father. He's after him. Israel's now in the midst of civil war. And David, again, finds himself again, even after he's king, he's running for his life. And he's at this place where he's experiencing abandonment. He's experiencing frustration. He's experiencing fear and anxiety. In fact, he's just in a place of the unknown. And during all of this, he writes this amazing song. Psalms 23. And so the context that you and I can grab a hold of today for Psalms 23 is simply this. It'll be on the screen. The context is simply this. Psalms 23 is about a season filled with anxiety and unknown. And I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty familiar right now. Kind of a season of unknown. I mean, look what we are living in this present time. Well, the one thing we could say is we're living in the midst of a storm. There's a storm. But not only that, there's the times we're living in, the culture is at war, people are at war, ideologies are at war, disunity is at war, friends are turning to foes, there's fears, there's health problems we face, mental health is running rampant throughout our world, physical challenges that we all face, and it's really so unknown, and it's so overwhelming to so many people. Even some of you in the room that would consider yourself, I'm an extremely grounded person. And yet you still are feeling this sense of overwhelming unknown. Our world is filled with anxiety. Our world is filled with worry. And there's never been a time, hear me church, there's never been a time that Psalms 23 is needed than right now. It's needed in our lives. And so he writes this Psalms with this amazing purpose in mind. And let me give you that purpose this morning. The whole purpose of Psalm 23 is to position you and I to have strength in the midst of struggle. To have strength in the midst of struggle. And I don't know what your struggle is today, but let me just say, if you have a health struggle, Psalms 23 is for you. If you are having financial struggles, Psalms 23 is for you. If you are having decision struggles in your life, Psalms 23 is for you. If you are having relational troubles in your life, Psalms 23 is for you. And we could go on and on and on. We need this psalm in our life. And so this morning, Psalms 23, I'm going to turn there to be on the screen for you. And I want to do something that we don't normally do at church. But I'm going to ask you, we're going to read the whole Psalms. It's 6 verses. And it'll be on the screen, but can we read it together? I think sometimes when you read it together, it'll penetrate you, you get it. So it'll be on the screen, you don't have to have it, but would you follow with me this? Here we go, ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, amen, right? Let's go. Come on, give it up for his word today. Psalms, we're going to focus this morning. It'll be on the screen for you. I want to focus on one verse. Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I want to give you a statement this morning that I think is so important for your life. I want one that you can say to yourself, or you should say to yourself daily, a statement that we need to remind ourselves daily. I want to give you a statement that you need to place in strategic places in your home, whether it's in your bathroom, on your refrigerator, in your car, but in a statement of remembrance. And here's the simple statement. Here it is. I have a shepherd. I have a shepherd. And if you're struggling and you feel alone or you feel all by yourself, let me remind you today, like David, you have a shepherd. You have a shepherd. Now, this might not make sense to a lot of us today because many times we don't think about shepherding. We have no clue, like a shepherd, that doesn't make sense in my context this morning. I mean, it's not really a career field that people are following today. Like, you don't show up at the University of Montana and they ask you, what is it that you want to do when you finish our program and you finish our school? And you normally don't say, I want to be a shepherd, okay? Give me some sheep. Give me a prairie to sit on, a hill to look over. You don't say that. You don't graduate from the U of M and say, now it's time to take on my shepherding career. It's just not something we follow all the time. But David compared the Lord to a shepherd, because he had a lot of experience with shepherd. We realize that as the youngest of 8, and any of you the youngest of your siblings this morning, anybody the youngest, the baby in the family? Come on, there's some hands in the hair. So you understand this. He's the youngest of 8. If you're the youngest, you understand siblings have a way of pushing the worst jobs down to the youngest. You know? Like, you're too young, you can't defend yourself. You're too naive to know the difference. And so they make you do what they don't want to do, right? Like, I have a younger brother, and we tortured him. Like, we tortured him. I'm literally saying he still has scars on his body from what we've done to him. We made him eat things and do things that no one should have to eat or do. And that's what you do to your youngest kid. But hear me this morning. As the youngest child, David becomes the shepherd. The job that nobody wants. And he sits there, and the Bible talks about how he would watch the sheep. He would take care of the sheep. He would protect the sheep. David was literally the best shepherd. We actually hear a story in the Bible where David is watching the sheep, and it talks about a specific day. Check this out. It's in 1 Samuel, and he says this. He says, a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock. And he says, I went after it, and I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, get this, I seized it by its hair. I'm telling you, don't do this if you go on safari. But he seized it by its hair, he struck it, and he killed it. Now pause for a moment. I don't know what town you live in where a lion and a bear are showing up on a regular basis, but if you live there, it's time to move. But this is what's happening. And David understood the role of a shepherd, and he went after the lion. He took his staff, and he went after it, and he strikes it. He uses the stick, and he rescued the sheep. I don't know. Sometimes we get a really bad picture of David, but I'm here to tell you, David is savage. Like, he is savage. This guy is for real. Like he knows what's up. When it turned on him, right? It says it turned on. He grabbed it and he killed it. Come on. They don't teach us that here in Montana. If you see a bear, you run. And he goes after. He's savage. And you just don't mess with David, ladies and gentlemen. This guy is something else. We think of this idea of passive shepherds. We've seen it in paintings and writings where they're just sitting on a field gazing at the stars. Harp music's playing in the background. And they're gazing at the stars and they're writing poems and singing. Hear me this morning. No, David was like a beast at his job. And hear me. I believe this. The difference between Pastor Heath and David is that when a lion comes after my sheep, you know, I know this reality. I don't have to run faster than the lion or a bear. I just have to run faster than you. And that's the truth. Like, I'm probably, like, if it's me and the lion's coming, I'm probably grabbing a sheep and giving it to him. Or like, you know, here's two. Would you like two? Anything to leave me alone. But that's not what David does. He understands his role, and his role is to protect the sheep. His role is to look out for them. And so here he goes, because he understood the responsibility of a shepherd. David knew that the way that he shepherded, the way that he handled his sheep, hear me this morning, church, the way that he handled his sheep had little to do with who the sheep are, and it had a lot to do with the character of the shepherd. Nothing to do with the sheep, it has everything to do with the character of the shepherd. And so he's telling us in this particular scripture, listen, no matter what you and I go through, I want to remind you, you have a shepherd. I have a shepherd. And if you feel discouraged this morning, your motivation is gone this morning, if you feel like you're in the mouth of a lion this morning, here's your reality check. You have a shepherd. You have a shepherd. And that shepherd will come on your side. He will track down that lion and he will rescue you. That's the kind of shepherd we serve. It's in the midst of this turmoil that David pens that famous phrase, it'll be on the screen, that the Lord, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, here's the result of it. I lack nothing. Because he's your shepherd, you lack nothing. He could have said, right? David could have wrote, the Lord is a shepherd. He could have penned it and said, the Lord is the shepherd, and that would have been a very good statement. But David understood why God came. David understood how God operates, and he knew something that you and I need to grasp and understand today, that God operates with each and every one of us in a personal way. He's personal to you. He's personal to me. Remember, he came down. He left heaven to be personal with you. I wrote down this way, we serve a personal God who desires a personal relationship with us. So when he makes this statement, he's not making this statement, the Lord is my shepherd and he gives you what you want or he provides for you. He doesn't make that statement because God's trying to lord over you. He doesn't make that statement because he just wants to deposit some religion in your life. What we do, this Christianity life that we live is about a relationship that you and I can have, a personal relationship with the God of the universe. So if you've got this idea this morning that the church just wants my time, the church just wants my money, if you've got this idea that, well, God just wants to control me and make my life miserable and make me unhappy, I want to tell you this morning, the purpose of all of this, the why we're here today, why we talk, is not so that you could go to a church. The purpose of it is not so that you can give money. The purpose of it is not just so we can put you on a serve team, even though that would be great, put you on a serve team somewhere in our church. The purpose of all of this, the purpose why we sing, why we gather, why we preach, why we respond, the purpose of it is that you and I are created for a relationship with the God of the universe. And that's why we do it. And there is nothing better than knowing our God. Charles Spurgeon says it this way, get this, amazing quote. He writes it this, he says, a sheep is an object of property, not a wild animal. Its owner gets great store by it. And frequently, get this, he writes, it is bought with a great price. CLC, let me remind you this morning, you have been purchased with a great price. Oh, great price. He did not come to earth. Jesus did not come to earth to offer you good wishes this morning. He didn't offer you just to give you a nice rub on the back. He came here and he went to the cross for you and me. A great price was purchased for your salvation. And this is what he's saying. And Spurgeon goes on to write it. I love it. He goes on to write this way. It is well to know, as certainly as David did, that we belong to the Lord. There is a noble tone of confidence about this sentence that we're talking about. And I love how Spurgeon closed it out. He says this, there is no if, nor but, nor even I hope so. But he says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not a hope, it's not an if, it's not a but, it's certainty. He is your shepherd. And so I want to help you this morning. When you walk out of here today, I want you to walk out of this place with confidence that your God will never reject you. He'll never forsake you. He is your shepherd. All right? The government might not take care of you, but God will take care of you. Your people around you may hurt you and they may abandon you, but your God will never hurt you or never abandon you. He is a good, good shepherd. Now, If God is the shepherd, if he's the good shepherd, he's a shepherd, then he compares you and I, get this morning, to sheep. These are the best sheep I could find, besides a real one. He compares us to sheep. We're sheep, right? It's kind of crazy, right? Aren't they cute? They really are cute, right? But this is us, and this is what the Bible compares you and I to, is sheep. In fact, by the way, it'll be on the screen. You are compared to sheep over 200 times throughout the Bible. We're compared to sheep. Now, that would be okay, except for the fact that sheep are pretty dumb animals. Like, when you get to know about a sheep, you really realize that this is not a compliment to be compared to a sheep. Like, the only thing, I mean, they're cute. You're cute. You're just not smart at times, right? The only thing better is that he didn't compare us to cows, right? I mean, it's probably the only thing better. But here's the thing today. There's some tendencies about sheep that you have to understand, because you will never know God as your shepherd if you don't understand the tendencies of sheep. And so this morning, I want to help you understand just a few, real quickly, some tendencies of sheep that apply to us. Here's a few. Number one, as a sheep, we are prone to wander. As a sheep, we are prone to wander. Sheep aren't really good at getting to a destination on their own. They don't have that instinct. They don't have that ability, right? They kind of do what they want, right? And so that's why a shepherd takes his pole and he's constantly redirecting the sheep. Gotta go this way. Gotta go that way. Gotta do this. Come over here. Gotta go there. He's constantly redirecting, pushing them together, pushing them in a certain direction. No, don't go that way. No, go this way. And if you see sheep, if you ever notice sheep in a pasture, have you ever noticed a lot of times they're like bunched together? Because sheep, that's the way they understand it. That's their instinct, is that when one wanders off, they all wander off. And they're not really good at getting to the destination that they need to get to. I learned this by recently, truly, true story. I learned this by a news story, and it didn't make, and I promise you, I didn't make it up. This is a really true story. But there was a news story that came out about, it was in Turkey, the country of Turkey, where there were these four shepherds that were overseeing 15,000 sheep. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. 1,500 sheep, not 15,000. 1,500 sheep, right? And that's a lot of sheep. And so these four shepherds, and they're out doing their job, and they get together, and one of them says, you know what? I'm hungry. Are you guys hungry? Like, yeah, they're all like, yeah, we're hungry. And I'm get me. This isn't hundreds of years ago. We're talking like within this decade, this happened. So they decide to go to the local tavern and eat and have some drinks. And so they ask each other, well, listen, what do we do with these sheep? What do we do with these 1,500 sheep? And one of the shepherds is like, listen, they'll be fine. They're just going to hang out here. They'll be fine. We'll be gone for a little while. And so what happens is they go to this local tavern. They start eating and drinking, and they have a little much. They spend a little extra time there, and they forget about the sheep. And the story goes that one of the sheep decides to wander. One of the sheep decides to wander, and as it wanders, it falls off a cliff and dies. But you would think that'd be, well, it's sad. One happens, it falls off a cliff, it dies. But then guess what? Sheep number two wanders. Oh, well, they went. I'll go. Falls off the cliff and dies. Sheep number three. Well, they all went. I'll go. Falls off the cliff and dies. And this happens over and over and over again. If you don't believe me, I have proof. You'll see it on there. That's the actual story. Turkish sheep die in a mass jump. True story. I want you to see this line. More than 400 sheep died in the 15-meter fall, their bodies cushioning the fall of 1,100 others who followed. They all just wandered. Hey, well, they're doing it. Why not me? Well, they're going. Everything should be fine. More than 400 died. How sad is that? It ended up costing the shepherds about $70,000 in loss simply because they just wandered off. Listen, this is the tendency we all have. We're wanderers. In fact, the Bible tells us, Isaiah reminds us, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. I mean, it's literally what we do, right? Like, oh, well, they offended you, they offended me. Fall. Oh, well, they're going there, I'm going to go there too. Oh, they offended you. Yeah, they said, okay, good, I'm following you. And we just wander and wander and wander and wander. We follow after these things. Well, they offended me, they offended you. Well, they said this, well, they said that. Well, I'm leaving the church, well, I'm going to leave the church too. Because we're just prone to wander. I want you to understand something this morning. It's our lives. We are prone to wander. We are prone to follow. And so what do we have during those times, though, when we are prone to wander? And I'm just so thankful because I get this, because even in every bad tendency that I have and every bad tendency that you have, guess what? I have a shepherd. You have a shepherd. And what we have with this relationship is Christ, with Christ is simply this. It'll be on the screen. I have a shepherd. You have a shepherd who rescues and redirects my life. I have a shepherd who rescues me. He redirects my life. This is in God's character. He's a shepherd who rescues you. He redirects you. When we've wandered off, he's the God who says this. Wouldn't a good shepherd leave the 99 to find the one that was lost? He goes after you. So we got those points in life, right, where we feel lost, we feel insignificant, we feel inadequate, we feel alone, we feel unloved, and I just want you to know that this shepherd, this God, wants to get your attention. This shepherd, this God, he pursues you, he chases you, he leaves the 99 for you. He is such a great shepherd, and he wants to redirect your life. He wants to say, no, you don't go that way, go that way. He wants to walk up to you and say, no, you're going the wrong way. That feeling you're feeling in church today, why worship's going on or the pastor's preaching, that's God going, no, you want to go that way. And he redirects your life, right? And I want to say this to you this morning. If you might find, all the times in your life, you find these places where you're like, what's happening? Why is this going on? Why does this feel uncomfortable? And I want to tell you, it's never too late to be redirected this morning. There's some of us maybe in the room, you feel like I've been in church 50 years or I've seen it all, been a part of it all. Hear me, you, until you spend eternity with God in heaven, you have not arrived yet. God is always trying to redirect you. He's always trying to redirect us. Can we allow God to direct us to the purpose and the destiny that he has for your life? Because he's constantly trying to do it. We have a good shepherd that does that for us. Listen to me. Let me tell you how it feels a lot of times. Because I've been following Jesus for many years. And you know what? I still want to go on my own way sometimes. I still want to do things my own way sometimes. But here's what God kindly does. He nudges you. He says, hey, don't send that text. He nudges you and says, hey, don't say that. He nudges you and says, you know what? Don't do that, right? Don't have that attitude. He nudges you, say, hey, don't watch that. Don't do that. Don't take that behavior. And how many of you know sometimes when you're being nudged by God, it feels like he's punishing you? Like it just feels extreme. It's uncomfortable. Punishment's not good. It feels uncomfortable. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes it just takes the focus off of yourself when he punishes you. But I wrote it down this way. I love it. If you're taking notes, write this down. God's discipline is his way of directing us. God's discipline in your life is the way that he directs you. So if you feel like God's always beating you up, like if you, it's because he wants to redirect your life. He wants to direct you to something so much greater than in your life than you can see or imagine. And sometimes that temporary wandering is not going to lead you to the destiny that God has for your life. But if we will respond to his correcting, if we will respond to his nudging, if we will let the shepherd guide us, you will get to the destiny and the purpose that God has for your life. And I can stand here with all honesty and say there's not a person in this room that God doesn't have destiny and purpose for. Every one of you have it. So let me say this. Here's another one of tendencies of sheep. As sheep, we are constantly attacked. You ever seen any of those videos? Like sometimes they're on YouTube, Facebook videos. Like they put two things against each other. Like a video that says like mantis versus spider. Like my wife yells at me all the time because I love to watch a lion pull a warthog out of a hole. All right, and chew it up and eat it. Right? You know that's just really cool. But you've seen those before. Like they're after each other. Can I say this to you? The reality is, if it's a sheep versus anything, the anything wins. If it's a sheep versus anything, the anything wins. I mean, this animal can't hurt anybody. It's defenseless animal. Like a sheep will never, like, get on its hind legs and go, come on, let's fight. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not going to do it. It doesn't get on its hind legs and say, hey, let's fight. Like, it just doesn't do that. And here's what it needs. Here's what a sheep needs. They have to live understanding that it could be attacked because it's defenseless. I'm saying to you today, it's the same thing with your life. In fact, Peter reminds it to us when he says to us, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Listen, y'all, I want you to sit in church today, but I also want you to realize that you have a real enemy. There's a real enemy. And let me tell you, you have an enemy over your life, not because you're weak and not because you have issues. The enemy of your life is not there because of your past. The enemy of your life is there because of the potential of your future. That's why the enemy's there. Not because you've made mistakes or you don't live right. He's on you because of the potential of what you can do. The enemy knows that if you and I are successful, if you are able to serve God with your whole heart, then you will be stronger than you've ever been before. The enemy knows if you could serve him, if you're successful with your whole heart, that you will live greater than you've ever lived before. He knows that if you're successful and you live this whole thing for God, the enemy knows that you will have more faith than you've ever had before. So I say to you, church, don't find it odd or unusual when he is attacking you. So what do you do, though? What do you do when you feel like, I'm just under attack? Well, I think it's simply this. It's this simple. From Psalms 23, we lean into the fact that I have a shepherd, that you have a shepherd. So when I'm facing attack, I can remind myself, no, 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 I don't need to give in to this. I don't need to be overtaken by this. I have a shepherd. In fact, here's what a shepherd does. It'll be on the screen. I have a shepherd who protects me. I have a shepherd who protects me. So when I feel attacked, I have a shepherd who takes on the personal responsibility of protecting me. A few years ago, we were on a mission trip. My wife and I were with a group of people, and we were in El Salvador. And this was years ago, and I remember it was crazy. Like, these 18-year-old nationals would take us to parts of the country. We had no clue where we are. Like, we don't know what's going on. We would just come into a village, a town. We'd set up, and we would do these programs and different things. And so we're sitting there, and if you knew anything about El Salvador, especially at that time, gangs everywhere. And so here are these, white Americans coming in to El Salvador, set up in some community. I'll never forget the time we set up, and the next thing you know, these cars all surround our bus. And the nationals are like, hey, everybody just be cool. These are all gang members. They don't really know what you're doing here in their town. They don't like it. And so they start playing music and different things, trying to drown us out. And I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but that's scary. We're like, what's going on? What's going to happen? We're in the middle of nowhere, foreign country. And we just begin to pray. And all of a sudden, someone comes and goes, oh, they just found out that you're here for their kids. And so because you're here for their kids, you're safe. And I thought to myself at that time, I'm like, I'm not safe because I'm here for their kids. I'm safe because I have a shepherd who's here to protect me and to watch over me and look out for me. Like if you're ever in that place where you're feeling broken or you're feeling fearful or you're in that place where you feel like there's just no way out, hear me this morning. Our God is not a God that abandons you in your time of need. Like when you're in that impossible situation, he is there to protect you. He's there to put his angels around you. He is a good shepherd. In fact, Jesus literally describes himself this way. Look how he describes himself in John 10. He says this, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is what a good shepherd does. And if you feel under attack, I'm encouraging you this morning, just lean into this fact that you have a good shepherd that is protecting you. By the way, I wanted to add this. It's been my personal prayer over the last few months. For some reason, the Lord has laid it on my heart, but it's been my personal prayer that God would bring protection over our church. That he would just bring protection over our church. And I just believe it. I have felt it when there are attacks all around me. Listen, folks, there are people who love to sit on the sidelines and wish your church bad. And I'm here to tell you today, we have a shepherd. And I've felt it. I believe it. I feel it all around us. But there's something about God's people being protected. And you know why? Because he is my shepherd and I am his sheep. And he is looking after me. And he's looking after you today. I want you to get this morning. Let me give you the last tendency as we close out this morning. As sheep, we need continual care. It's a tendency. As sheep, we need continual care. If you let a sheep go off by itself, here's a couple facts that you'll find out, right? First, you'll find out it's not able to find the food that it needs. Here's one we don't always think about. If a sheep wanders off by itself, how many know its hair grows? It needs care. Eventually, if a sheep is not cared for, it will die. It cannot survive on its own. Sheep only survive under the care of a shepherd. They only survive under the care of a shepherd, right? The level that you thrive as sheep, the level that you and I thrive as sheep, always depends on the quality of the shepherd you have in your life. What is the shepherd that's shepherding your life right now? What is the quality of the shepherd that is shepherding your life right now? Is it your bank account? Is it your friends? Is that your shepherd? Is it your entertainment? Is that your shepherd? Is it your own opinions, your own ways, your own thoughts, your own doubts? Are they shepherding you? And because if you feel like faith isn't going working for you, if you feel like you've never were moving forward in your faith, it could be that you might be your own shepherd. You might be your own shepherd. Or it could be that you're just putting your trust in the wrong things and in the wrong places. And how many know those things, those places, they will let you down. Those things can't care for you. Those, your friends, this is a tough one, but your friends and your family and your relationships can't care for you the way that you need to be cared for. Your bank account cannot care for you the way that you need to be cared for. Your job, your 401k, your stuff, your me time cannot care for you the way that you need to be cared for. I can't care for myself the way that I need to be cared for, but I love it. Here's the good news. We weren't created to. We were not created to care for ourselves. Because remember what David said in the midst of his season, when his family was turned on him, in the middle of civil war in his country, when his destiny of being the king was vulnerable, when he's in a place of anxiety and worry, what does David declare? He declares that statement, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I lack nothing." The response to God being our shepherd, when we respond today and say, "God, you're my shepherd. I make you my shepherd. I attach myself to you." You know what the response is? You know what the goal is? You know what the outcome is? We lack nothing. We lack nothing. And I understand that the quality of me as a sheep being taken care of is sufficient because of the level and the quality of my shepherd. He will take care of you. He promises to take care of all your needs according to his riches and glory. So let me remind you today, I have a shepherd. You go out of this place and tomorrow comes and Tuesday comes and Wednesday comes. Remind yourself, I have a shepherd. And here's what a shepherd does. Be on the screen. I have a shepherd who provides all of my needs. I don't know what you feel like you're lacking today. I don't know what you feel like is lacking in your life today. But I need you to know this. You have a shepherd who will provide all of your needs. And I also want to remind you, notice I didn't say provide your wants. I said he will provide your needs. He knows what you need in every season of your life. He knows what you need, whatever you face and whatever you walk through. And David is at the lowest point in his life, and he writes these words that we need to hang on to. He writes these words that when you and I are at low points in our lives, when we find ourselves struggling, when we find ourselves in a place where we don't know what to do, he writes these words that you and I can enjoy today sitting in this room, in this church auditorium. We can have that experience and we can have that peace in your soul that David had to say, in the midst of it all, I have a shepherd. In the midst of all, I lack nothing. Because you and I have this amazing heavenly shepherd that will provide all of our needs. This is when David said at the end of that, I lack nothing. You know what he basically was saying? Essentially, all he was saying was, I'm content. I'm content. And here's what I know about contentment, right? I've learned this from my kids, especially when they were younger, right? Like, they don't worry. How many know when you've had kids before? They don't worry when the cereal box is empty. They don't go, oh no, what's next? Captain Crunch is gone. What do I do? They don't worry when dinner is over and go, oh no, that's it. Because you know why they don't worry? Because they understand the source of that cereal or the source of that meal. They understand who the source is. Their hope is not in the cereal. Their hope is not in the food. Their hope is in the source. So the same thing for your life. Get this morning on the screen. Your contentment comes not from what we have, but whom we have. your contentment comes not from what you have, but from whom you have. When I don't know what's going to happen next week, I don't know what's going to happen next month, when I don't know what the future holds, you know what? That's okay. I can still be content because my contentment and the fact that I lack nothing is not in what I have, it's in whom I have. And how many know this morning? I have a shepherd. I have a shepherd. And I have a shepherd that promises no matter what's going on around me, he will take care of me. He will comfort me. He will protect me. He will provide for me. And he will direct me. You don't have to worry this morning, church. You have a shepherd. I close with this last quote. I love it. Got to get this. Worry is dealing with tomorrow's problem on today's pasture. Worry is dealing with tomorrow's problem on today's pasture. That quote shows me this, that so many people... This morning, you have food in your belly, man. You're content right now, and yet you're still worried about the food for tomorrow. You're still worried about tomorrow. And I think God's saying to us this morning, I provided for you today. Just enjoy the pasture today. Don't worry about tomorrow. And you say, well, Pastor, what about the future? What about next week? What about tomorrow? What about this? What about that? And I would say, listen, I don't know. I don't know about next week. I don't know about next month. I don't know about next year. I don't know what the future holds, but I know that we have a good shepherd and he loves his sheep and he holds the future in his hands. That is a good shepherd. That's a good shepherd. He promises to take care of you. He promises to care for you and to love you. Would you stand with me this morning? Say this, we're gonna worship in here just a moment. Can I just say at this moment while you're standing here, and as we in a moment, as we begin to just take a moment and in 2 minutes and sing and worship our God and worship our shepherd, can I encourage all of us, let's shift and let's begin to put our hope and let's begin to put our trust and our joy in the fact that you and I have a shepherd. A shepherd. He is for us. He is for you. He has not abandoned you. He has not forsaken you. He is here in the midst of you, and he wants to direct your life. He wants to care for your life. He wants to protect your life. And because of that, he is worthy, worthy, worthy to be worshipped this morning. Can we do that together? Let's worship him. God has for you. Right there we are, just close your eyes and just receive the peace that the Lord, our shepherd, has come to bring you. And right there with your eyes closed in that moment, can we just take a moment? I think it'd be appropriate this morning. Can we just thank him today? Lord, thank him for his salvation. Thank him for him providing for you, for protecting for you. Can we thank him for being such a good shepherd to us lonely, hopeless sheep? I think sometimes we have no clue the protection he puts on our lives. Some of us shouldn't be here today, but because of the protection of a shepherd. Some of you aren't even shouldn't be able to pay that bill that was due, but because of the protection of a shepherd. And he's protected you, and he's provided for you today. So Lord, I pray today that there would be a move in this place, that we would experience the peace of a good shepherd. And we in this room can realize, I have a shepherd who loves me, cares for me, protects me, watches out for me, who doesn't abandon me, a shepherd who's willing to leave the 99 to go after me, the one. Even though I was the one who wandered, even though I was the one who walked away, he still pursues me. So we stand here today in gratitude and thankfulness for our good shepherd. Thank you for that, Jesus. The last thing is this. Maybe you're here this morning. I want to do this. If you're here and you haven't had the privilege of experiencing this really good shepherd, haven't quite committed your life to him, and you haven't quite offered him everything, and you haven't gone all in to say, hey, I've wandered, and yet I want to come back. I want to be a part of this good shepherd, and I want to be part of the purpose and the destiny that he has for my life. And if you're here today and you haven't made that decision, or you find yourself far away and you're willing to come back, you're willing to make that commitment, say, God, I want to serve you. My life has been separated from you, and I'm ready to bring it back, to know that I had this good shepherd looking out for me. I've become my own shepherd. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, not to embarrass you, but right where you're sitting today, if that's you, say, I want to experience God. I want that shepherd in my life. I need him. I need to give my life to him. If that's you, this morning, I'm asking you to put your hand up, put it back down. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Lots of hands. Anyone else? Real quick. Come on. It's last time. Opportunity. Thank you. Thank you. Say hands.
Right, this is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
I need this good shepherd in my life. I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to do things on my own. And I'm willing to say, I need that protection and that care. I need that redirecting in my life. My life's been kind of a mess. I've been kind of on my own. And yet I want to experience what it's like to live for this good shepherd. This God who loves me, who sent his son Jesus to die on a cross, so that I can have this moment. If you're here today and you may raise your hand, you're at that place, I just encourage you right where you're standing to say, God, I give my life to you. Here's my heart. Here's my life. I want to be under you. I want you, Lord, to direct me. I want you to lead me. I want to experience your protection. God, would you forgive me and come into my life that I might live for you? I commit my life to you today, right now, in this place. Way, Emily, if you can help me, I think it'd be a great way. How about we go out today? Let's read this Psalm 23 together again. Can we do that? It's gonna be on the screen for you. It'll be on the screen, and we can follow along with me. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd; I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley, his darkest valleys, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I pray a blessing over you before you leave. I want to say this. If you're here this morning and you want prayer, we're shifting here. We want to have opportunities where people, we know some of you come in with things and you just need prayer. If you need prayer this morning, something you're walking through and you need, or maybe you're one of those people who raised your hand today and say, I want to commit my life to God. We'd love the opportunity to just privately pray for you as well. And so we have this little area right over here on tape. We have our pastoral team. We have a deacon and board and other prayer members that are just going to be standing over there. Right after this service, as soon as we say amen, if you want to make your way over there, you just want prayer, if you've committed your life to the Lord, we just want to have an opportunity to pray with you. Would you meet us over there? We're here to serve you. And lastly, if you're new here today, or you're new and we haven't had a chance to meet you, my wife and I would love to meet you. We'll be right down front over here. If you're new and you're visiting or you've been new in the last few weeks, we'd love to just say hi to you. So we'll be right over here. But other than that, thank you for being in church today, praying for our community. If you want to serve, see Michelle out in the hallway there. She'll be glad to sign you up. And so, Lord, I pray blessing upon your people today. May your face shine upon us. Lord, may we walk out of this place contentment, full of contentment, knowing that we lack nothing because we serve the God of the universe. We can understand, God, that we can love you with all our heart. We can serve our world and let our light shine so that this world can see how good a shepherd you really are. So I pray your blessing upon your people, people who are facing things. We have a service on Wednesday to remember one of our great Randy Price. I pray you'll be with that service. And Lord, all the things that are happening here and things that we're going to walk through this week, may we walk knowing that we have a shepherd who guides us, who directs us, who protects us, and provides for us.